Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are going to be focusing on the precious metals in this daily editorial as we are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, to start off with, Dave, let's look at some of the charts. Starting off with gold. Gold has moved up to, let's say, around 1830, right around that level. And I think even more importantly, after that Fed meeting and the start or the announcement of the taper, gold made a much stronger move higher, moved up about $50 in the last couple trading days of last week and started this week off well with that move up to about that 1830. Now, what's key about this 1830, or at least close to this level, is we're very close to some key resistance levels, mostly dealing with that downtrend line for gold, as well as some other tops in the gold market that we have seen during this now over a year and a half correction. Dave, what levels are you watching for gold right here? What's important?
Yeah, that 1840 level is really important. If we see a weekly close above 1840, that's going to get a lot of momentum traders interested in this sector. If you take a look at the downtrend line from the August high and the uptrend line from the March low, it's in this symmetrical triangle and it's packed in there. It's like a coiled spring. And we talked about last week, it could go either way. And it's been a bullish bias. And if you take a look at the volume, look at the volume in gold. Look at the volume in gold, look at the volume in GDX, and look at the volume in GDXJ since the bottom was made on that last day of Q3. Upside volume is higher than downside volume. That's another sign of accumulation. I expected the taper to be by the news. And that's so far, that's what's happened. And then the Fed came out and basically wrapped a dovish Fed speak around a taper. You know, they're basically saying that, hey, we're not gonna raise rates anytime soon. And they even left the door open to reverse the taper. You know, when they say, you know, it's data dependent, which basically is Fed speak for if the stock market starts tanking, they can reverse the taper. And then you had a PPI number come out today, which remained hot. It was pretty much, the number was pretty much expected, but inflation is remaining hot. And last month when these inflation numbers came out, remaining hot, the gold price was hit because investors expected the Fed to hint that they were going to start raising rates. Well, now they're not. So the PPI number came out, gold sold off a tad, and then it was bought right back up again. And like you said, it's trading above 1830 right now. So the CPI number comes out tomorrow. And if that CPI number remains hot, and especially if it's hotter than expected, I think there's a very good chance that we could see a weekly close above 1840, 1850, and that would be huge. So that's the level I'm looking at in gold right now, is that 1840 level.
Well, Dave, I just want to say publicly, you had a great call. You know, when we were talking at the end of the September close, you'd mentioned that gold and silver and even the mining stocks had pulled themselves back from the depths and had like got out of the danger zone and had closed on that September quarterly close and monthly close right above where they needed to not fall into a panic sell situation. And then you mentioned that the tapering could be a buy the news event, which it has been in the precious metals. But as we approach this resistance level that we have been smacked down from a couple times, this 1835 to 1840 level, if we do get a break above it, what do you think, besides this CPI number tomorrow and the inflation narrative, what else do you think could drive some real momentum in the precious metal space to get it back up closer to 1900 or 1921, those kind of levels? What do you think it would be to drive it there?
Well, I think it's the stock market reversing here. I mean, the stock market's been melting up here, and we had a reversal yesterday. So what gold price could also be sniffing out is a correction in the stock market. Because, you know, it's gone up so many times. I think there's a historical number. It's gone up so many times in a row here that it hasn't happened ever. But, you know, we know it's historically overvalued. You know, the marketplace is littered with hedge funds that have gone under trying to short this market. And it sure appears to me like reversal here on for a few reasons. A big reason is now that we've had a Fed policy change where they're starting to taper, starting to take a little bit of the punch out of the punch bowl. And also we've got that we talked about last week, Democrats, the Biden administration discussing taxing unrealized capital gains from billionaires next year. Even Elon Musk came out and said, should I sell some of my stock because I'm going to get taxed on it? I mean,
yeah, that didn't really help his Tesla stock that much either.
Yeah.
When he said that.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see a December like we had in 2018, where the S&P went down 14%, which was the biggest correction in December since 1930. That could easily take place again at the lofty levels that they're trading at right here. And at the same time that did take place, the gold market was also nearing its end of a long consolidation period. It was creating a significant bottom there at the end of 2018. And the gold stocks went up while the stock market went down 14%. So I think we're in a scenario where that could be a catalyst that could drive the gold complex higher into the end of the year.
So Dave, what sort of weakness would you look for in something like the S&P? Because in all fairness, I think the S&P was up something like 8 straight trading sessions and had just recently broken out 2 new all-time highs and just kept moving higher. So far this year, every dip has been relatively shallow and bought back fairly quickly. So what would have to happen here for the markets for people to change their perception and finally think that it's not a buy the dip type of mentality, which has been the thought over the last decade?
Well, I think the 50-day moving average would have to be taken out quickly, and it's pretty far down there. You know, it's in the S&P, it's at 44.85 here, right? But if you take a look at the daily chart, it's become extreme overbought on a daily and a weekly basis. And like I said, it's just ripe for reversal here. And the gold complex could easily be sniffing this out. I mean, I know we've talked about how tiny the gold complex is in relation to the marketplace. But if you take just the entire precious metals mining industry, it has a market capitalization of under $600 billion. This is tiny. So it wouldn't, just a small shift of like maybe 2 or 3% of institutional investors coming into this sector, say a few hedge funds coming in, would be huge, especially during a time when the sector is so bombed out right here. So it wouldn't take much to really light this sector on fire, which has been hated for so long while everything else has been going up.
Yeah, Dave, it wouldn't take much as far as capital flows to move the needle in a tiny niche sector like the gold and silver, especially on our mining stocks. So shifting over to the miners, what are you looking at with GDX, GDXJ as far as overhead resistance levels? Where do you think the stocks may go? You know, because they've been outperforming the metals recently, which is a nice sign as well. But where do you think things could head from here?
Yeah, it's been a nice sign. And a nice sign also has been the GDXJ has been outperforming the GDX. That has also been a good sign. But the levels to watch now, since we're on the verge of breaking out here, is 35 GDX, 47 GDXJ, and that 1840 level in gold, which is just above necklines of those inverse head and shoulders bottoming patterns that are formed on the charts here. If we see weekly closes above those levels, I really think you can see a strong move next week. So if we get a weekly close, a combination of a weekly close above 1840 in gold, 35 in the GDX and 47 in the GDXJ with some good volume, I think you could really start to see the higher risk juniors begin to outperform the mining sector. So even though the GDXJ has been outperforming the GDX, the GDXJ has a lot of mid-tiers and some majors in it sprinkled with a few actual juniors. So once you see that 47 level closed above on a weekly basis, then you're going to start to see the higher risk juniors create bottoming patterns here. And a few of them also had capitulation type fishing line sell-offs with good volume on Fed speak day and with intraday reversals. Actually, I even bought a couple stocks that had patterns like that. So it's really close here, you know, because we talked about before that this tax loss selling started so early. It started in mid-June. So much of it is pretty much gone by the wayside in a lot of these stocks. So the sector is just, it's just ripe for a huge move here. And, you know, you've had other guests like Doc talk about the tightening of the Bollinger Bands on the gold price on the weekly chart. And, you know, we talked last week how there was going to be a strong move in either direction. And it sure looks like that move is going to be up. And, you know, I put my money where my mouth is ever since I talked about the possibility of the gold price and especially the miners bottoming at the end of Q3. I've spent the rest of my cash this week. So I basically have no cash left in my junior portfolio.
Interesting, Dave. And you're actually not alone in some of the guys that I really respect in the sector saying that they are pretty much now fully invested in these stocks, even though some still say there might be a little bit of downside, but that looks limited. Let's talk about some of that M&A action that we've seen, though, because Mondays, the last 3 weeks, we have seen some form of M&A, and the most recent M&A was, again, just this Monday with Pretium being taken over by Newcrest, and that deal is worth $2.8 billion. It is a big deal. It's actually been the trend of some of those recent deals. They've been a bit larger in size, and they have been for mostly some other mining companies, so combining operations. What's your takeaway from this pickup in M&A action, especially on the larger front?
Yeah, you know, mining M&A Mondays have returned in a big way here for the last 3 weeks. And it all started with the Agnico Kirkland deal that was announced at the end of Q3, which I also mentioned as possibly being a catalyst for a bottom being created in the mining sector. And that looks like it's starting to take place also. So yeah, this Pretium deal is another high profile deal. I mean, that's a $2.8 billion takeout, which is huge. You know, it's happened in the Golden Triangle where we've had some M&A earlier there when we had Newmont take over a junior for an all cash deal. And, you know, you've also had last week, Mark Bristow, CEO of Barrick, came out and say that they're concentrating on growth again. They're a Canadian mining company with only one major project in Canada, that's the Hemlo project. So they're looking to buy again too. So I wouldn't be surprised if they announce an acquisition here sometime soon as well.
Yeah, Dave, that news from Barrick got some animal spirits going, and it caused Great Bear to get bit up because they had taken a strategic stake in their neighbors at Red Lake Mines right next to them on the trend. And so with the Calibre Fiore takeover, with the Kirkland Lake Agnico, this Pretium Newcrest one, we've even seen a couple in the royalty space with Ely Gold getting snatched up, as well as Golden Valley and Abitibi Mines. So we're seeing consolidation, and that has investors for the first time in a while talking about who's next. Who's next on the chopping block? Where are these majors or the larger mid-tiers wanting to position? Do you think this could get some money circulating again in the space and get investors kind of excited or trying to get positioned in who will be next? Do you think we'll get those animal spirits going again?
I do. I think that is going to take place. I mean, it's taken place in the past, historically, when the M&A sector heats up. When you see these high-profile mergers that gets the attention of generalist investors, because that's basically what we need, guys, you know? We've still been trading amongst ourselves, you know, for such a long time as the generalist investor left the sector again late last year. So we need to get that money back in here for them to come into the gold space. And like I said, this gold space is so tiny, it won't take much of that capital to come in here to really get it moving. And I think another high-profile M&A here, like we saw on Monday with this Pretium deal, will definitely start to get them thinking about the sector again.
Well, we'll wrap it up there, Dave, but it is a little bit more exciting and a little bit better news for the precious metal sector. And yeah, I think if gold can break out of this 1840 area and get closer up to that $1,900 level, that also could bring more generalist into the precious metal space. But we'll keep an eye on more M&A action in the space. We'll keep an eye on these levels that you shared with us today. And if people want to get more of Dave's thoughts, definitely check out his site and his newsletter at thejuniorminerjunkie.com. Dave puts out a free newsletter that really, I think, does a great job of summarizing the weekly events. But then really quickly, Dave, just share, what does your service actually do? How does your service work if people are interested in that?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, I kind of put a different twist on it when I started the service, where investors have full transparency access to my portfolio when I buy something, when I sell something. And I also give them a 24-hour notice before I buy or sell something. So it's kind of we're all in it together attitude. I put my money where my mouth is, like I said. And, you know, it is a high net worth portfolio. And all my trading action is shared with my subscribers. And it's a weekly newsletter. So each week I highlight the top stories in the sector, world economic news, all the press releases from not only the companies that I'm invested in, but the 20 companies on my watch list as well. So I have a watch list of 20 companies along with the now 30 companies that I'm invested in.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Dave. And for anybody interested, definitely check out Dave's service. He's one of the best in the business. And we're glad that you share some of your time with us here at the KE Report. So have a great rest of the week, Dave. We'll catch you next week. And hopefully we'll see if we got a breakout on the CPI news tomorrow.
Great, Chad. Thanks very much. I always look forward to talking to you guys as well.